Welcome to the Manager Tools Podcast for Monday, April 9th, 2007. Write More Effectively, Part 1 of 2. Hi, this is Mike, and on behalf of Mark and I, welcome to Manager Tools. For reasons that will become clear later in the podcast, I'm going to read today's intro directly from the blog post introducing today's cast, word for word. Here we go. This cast teaches how to quickly improve your writing. Most managers who want to get promoted don't think that being a good writer matters. What about email or reviews? Haven't you read things that you had to read and reread? That is bad writing. Managers must be good writers. If you can't be good, you must at least know how to avoid poor writing. Too many managers try to solve this problem with big words or complex sentences, thinking it makes them sound smart. That's the wrong way. In fact, Churchill may have said it best. Short words are best, and the old words, when short, are best of all. In this cast, we share a simple but powerful tool for improving your writing now. It can work for everyone, even our international members. It won't make you John D. McDonald, but it will make you better today. 17. Okay, did you pay attention? Okay, we'll see later on. But before we go on, I'd like to read a very special email we received from one of our listeners. Once you hear Irene's note, you'll know why we wanted to read it here. Dear Mark and Mike, first of all, we would like to say that we are big fans of your show. Thanks for all your efforts and work to produce a podcast every week. Now, thanks, Irene. We are writing to both of you today because we, a team of 14 first-line managers, have a difficult thing in mind. We want to say thank you to our boss, Horst Schubert, and give him recognition within a broader community. Now, here are some of the reasons why he is so special. And, Irene, I dig this. He shows very much empathy as a boss and as a peer and as a human being. He truly believes in the good in people. He has a very broad knowledge of business, technical, interpersonal, and product issues. No matter which topic is mentioned, he is very well informed. He is very interested in his environment and never lost his curiosity to try new things. He's a real innovator and a driver of change. He's able to build an atmosphere of trust where errors are a gift of information. He sees things holistically and adds new aspects. He keeps on surprising us every day in a positive manner. He enables and coaches us to take decisions and responsibility. He is focusing on solutions and not on problems. He has an inspiring personality. You will surely ask yourselves why we are addressing this to you. As Horst is also a fan of your show, who actually recommended your podcast to us, we are looking for a possibility to award him within your community. We have thought that maybe as a thank you, you can include our thank you note in one of your intros. We really appreciate your support. Best regards, Irene. Well, Irene, consider Horst duly awarded within the Manager Tools community. Horst, thanks for being such a great boss and inspiring 14 of your line managers to write us a note and thank you publicly. You must be one heck of a boss. Well, now you know why you wanted to read that note. Let's get on with the podcast. I think people are going to be surprised by this cast.
Why's that?
Duh. There's math involved, and it's about good writing.
Duh is right. You're totally right. I guess I've just used this tool so long that it doesn't seem like math. It's just part of writing and rewriting.
You know, of course, you know, this is the kind of stuff I totally
agree. I know.
Tools that can be digitized, that can make other efforts simpler, easier, faster, better. Systemic improvement is just an awesome power to have.
You're totally reminding me of Bill Gates saying at the end of one of his books about the human condition, it's really just a software problem.
It is. I mean, come on.
I know. It's just software. Exactly. Great.
Well,
okay.
Well, just to be clear with everyone, though, we don't believe that this tool is going to make everyone a Shakespeare or a Tom Wolfe, right?
No. I think that the way to think about this is it can improve any manager's writing and noticeably and immediately and even significantly. But we're not going to make artists out of everyone. The state of writing is so poor today, particularly in large organizations, that we may not be able to get everyone to the roof, but we can definitely raise the floor.
Yeah, definitely. So how are we going to do that?
Well, we'll share the Manager Tools Effective Writing Guidelines. And in the interest of full disclosure, this is going to be interesting, let's also share we learned some of these techniques, believe it or not, in the Army. You can Google Army effective writing, and you'll find, I think the first thing that pops up is a U.S. Army document that talks about some of what we're going to talk about today. I learned this in the Army, and that, despite what people may joke about, that is literally what turned me into what I believe the writer I am today.
Yeah, not that anyone would ever really Google Army effective writing. And I can hear people groaning right now. I mean, you mean I have to learn writing from the Army? But really, most folks' thoughts about Army management and Army writing are wrong. They're mistaken. The Army in peacetime writes like crazy. And of course, it used to be really bad.
I think, wasn't a couple years ago, it's probably 15 years ago now, there was a big thing going around with a PowerPoint called PowerPoint Rangers, where it was just the Army's focus on, in peacetime, and this is true of all the services, about communication. They got a hold of PowerPoint and they made it into a, you know, they turn it into a god-awful mess.
Right. Like lots of jargon. Huge words, totally incomprehensible.
Yeah.
Just frankly, bad writing.
Just like, say, the corporate world today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so the Manager Tools Effective Writing Guidelines comprises five key recommendations. Put your most important idea first. Use the active voice. Eliminate commas. Read your writing out loud, and use the writing clarity index.
Excellent. I can't wait to get to the index.
That's right. That's the math. Okay, let's get the math.
So let's go through them.
Okay. First, put your most important idea first. First off, I can't say this is the most violated rule, because when folks apply the clarity index to the writing the first few times, they're going to be embarrassed by how much better they can be. So the clarity index is the one that will show the most violated rules. But I can say that putting your most important idea first, this change alone will improve your writing the most. Okay. Now remember, writing is a form of communication. Okay. When we communicate, we're trying to persuade someone else to agree with us. If they don't know what we're trying to get them to see or to know or agree to, they can't agree or can't see it or can't know it, right? If they don't understand it. And so we can't achieve our purpose of persuading them. And let's not argue about persuasion. All the theorists will tell you all communication is persuasion. I'm not saying that just because I'm a salesperson. Okay. When we hide our main idea, we make it harder for the listener or reader. Remember, they're thinking about other stuff when they're, in fact, how many people do we know that multitask while they're doing email?
A lot.
They think they are.
Exactly.
Good. Thank you. Right. Good. You can't. I mean, I think I just read recently, and we've got to talk about this more, but email is one of the most cognitively intensive things that adults do today. People are mistakenly trying to do other things. You're trying to break through. Anything you do to make it harder just greatly degrades your communication. Right now, I think, and today, many readers will assume that we're hiding our main idea or key points because we're not confident about them, which is just, I think, deadly.
Yeah. Okay, so how do we do that?
I guess, basically, the way to put your most important idea first is actually to put your most important idea first.
Ah, yeah. Funny.
Okay. Let me say it differently. You put your most important idea at the beginning of what you're writing.
Oh, even better. Hilarious. Shut up, author boy.
No. Okay, look, here's my technique for doing this. After I get done writing, I read what I've written. And by the way, you'll see that we recommend the whole editing thing and rewriting thing a lot. And quite frankly, the lack of that is why so much email is so terrible as good writing.
Particularly important to do when it's an angry note.
yes, that's good, yeah. And then hit delete, right? And basically, as I've read what I've written, I ask myself, what is the main idea? What is my topic sentence? What do I want to get across? And whatever it is, I either write that in at the front, sometimes in bold, not always, okay? If I find that the topic sentence is somewhere buried in my paragraph, I just move it to the front. Hmm. It may be in there. I mean, I may actually have a sentence. It may be the third one or the fourth one. And this happens to me all the time. I have my idea, right? We all, when we're writing, we have an idea in our heads. And then when you write it, you feel like you wrote your idea, right? You communicated. Right. But you actually, when you write, you are communicating with the paper. And too many people don't think about, it's got to go from the paper or from the computer screen to the other person. Right. We forget the audience. Well, so you write it, And then you look and go, okay, what was I trying to say? And sometimes you actually find that pure, accurate topic sentence there, and you just promote it to the front. Sometimes you don't, though, and you have to add, you have to rewrite, you put a sentence in the front that says, this is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Isn't that the way we think sometimes, though? We think of if A, if B, if A, then B, then C. And so C being the conclusion.
Right,
and
right.
Since we think about it that way, we tend to put that at the end of the paragraph.
Right.
First, and what we're saying is, put it at the beginning of the paragraph.
Right, right. And here, there are a couple of, we could talk about this for hours. I'm going to say a few things about this now because I think it's important. Like I said, this is the most important thing we're talking about. The Clarity Index people will love. It is just the neatest little thing. And you're right, it's neat. It's awesome. People will love it. But this is really the key. For most important idea first. If you do this, everything else is going to get a great deal easier. This is the Marine phrase, bluff, bottom line up front. Okay. There are a couple of reasons why people do if A and then B, then therefore C, and C is the key point, right? I totally agree with that. A lot of people do that because it's dramatic, because they're telling a story. And you know what? The status of writing and communication today, people say in order to break through, you've got to tell a story, right? And so people hear that and they say, okay, I got to tell a story, and they do the drama. And when you right, we learn in school when you explicate a Shakespearean play, of course, there's the introduction, there's the one act, the second act, and then there's the climax, and then there's the denouement afterwards, right? And so the climax happens later. But that's storytelling. And while storytelling is a form of persuasion, it is not business writing or clear, concise communication of ideas. It's a different thematic approach to communication. We're not dramatists. Okay. Now, people talk about PowerPoint all the time. They say, well, you want to be dramatic. And boy, I've seen presentations where there's nothing but pictures and the presenter is talking. Great, that's fine. And PowerPoint is not a writing medium. It is a verbal presentation. It's a spoken presentation medium. And so there are different rules. If they were the same, then we would just email PowerPoint slides back and forth. So to say, well, I was told somewhere that drama is important. It is in some presentations. And you can, in fact, be dramatic by putting your topic sentence first. You really can. And I want to just say one other thing about this. And I know I'm on a tangent, and I'm sorry. When you say if A and then B and then C, you know where you're going with C. You better be really good at drama. I mean, you better have something dripping with emotion. You better grab people in a way that's visceral, that makes them feel, you know, wow, it's along the lines of people are dying. Okay, now you have my attention, right? A percentage point difference in expense reporting doesn't get everybody else's attention like it may have yours at that moment because your bonus depends upon it. So drama is very hard to do. And if you know C, you know where you're going, A and B make sense to you, right? And you put your C, your key point, at the bottom of your paragraph. The problem is they don't know where you're going.
Right, and they're guessing the entire time, right?
And when they're guessing, you know what that sounds like in their head? It's that white noise stuff. Look, you have got to give them a framework for the A and B. So you say, here's my topic. Here's my C. Boom, there it is. Now let me tell you about A and B. That's how I got there. And it's not as dramatic if you use drama in terms of storytelling. But you can have drama without storytelling. You can make a compelling argument, and a good compelling argument is dramatic.
Right.
Right? When you say something that people aren't expecting, there is inherent drama in that. And drama, the reason we use that word drama is because emotions really do drive people's behaviors. Those of us who are engineers don't like it that it's so, but it is in fact so. And so you can make a strong statement which causes people to go, oh, he or she's got my attention now. That's good. So we don't want to be against drama. We just want to recognize you can create drama, unlike what many people who do presentations would say. You can create drama by saying what you intend to say, the key point right up front.
Yeah. Good.
Sorry, long.
No, that's good. So, okay, so give me an example.
Oh, this is good. Okay, this is really good. I it's one of those things where I got an email recently. I'm like, okay, no brainer. There it is. Right
there it is.
Okay, so here's an email. A paragraph I got recently. This is a quote. Okay, I went to this is a manager, a director actually, sending an email to managers in a large organization, client firm of ours. Okay, I went to a meeting today about budgeting and the upcoming review process. One of the things we were talking about is expenses. I think you all know that there is new guidance coming down about expense processing. What I didn't know is that the guidance isn't so much about process as it is about cutting expenses. So the VP spent some time telling us that we might as well start now watching expenses. We batted around some ideas, and we agreed that 14-day advance airline tickets, professional book purchases, and monthly celebration dinners are places to look at. Okay, now look. I would argue that in that paragraph, okay, budgeting and review process, right? I mean, do we agree here, Miami? I mean, when you read that, you're like, okay, you're looking for it, right? Okay, I went to a meeting. Thanks. Yeah, I don't want to read your diary. I mean, there's a part of me that goes, I don't want to read your diary, boss.
Right.
Sorry. And then we talked about expenses. Okay, maybe this is going to be about expenses. But still, in the second sentence, 20, 30 words into it, we don't know where we're going, right?
Right.
Right. But probably emotionally, we go, uh-oh, expenses, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
That's a negative white noise happening.
Yeah, right? The question about what do you want me to do? What's the bottom line? Come on.
Now, to some degree, to be fair, that response that you just had, that what do you want me to do bottom line, that is the high D, right? The high D in both of us. Right. But the high C wants the data up front, or wants the conclusion up front too, and then they want explication after that. But look, the key idea when you get done with the paragraph is expense reduction, right? So you put that bottom line up front, and here's how it sounds. Please start reducing expenses, period. Three areas we can hit right now are 14-day advance airline tickets, professional book purchases, and monthly celebration dinners. This came out of a discussion at the budget meetings. The new expense guidance will be more about expense reduction than we thought. I think we might as well get started now, period.
Yeah, that's clear, right?
Yeah, it's very clear.
Matter of fact, if you were scanning that email and every paragraph was written like that, you could read the first sentence of every paragraph and you'd be done.
Yes.
Right? If you're me, and I knew a subordinate was writing a note or my boss is writing a note like that, and I knew they wrote effectively like that, I could get through email.
Didn't you actually tell the story about the guy who worked for you, who was leaving you the long voicemails?
Yeah, yeah.
And he responded beautifully to your request for an executive summary.
Exactly.
In a paragraph, the executive summary is the first sentence.
Yeah.
That's it. That's good. Okay, good. That was really good. Okay. Now, I know there are folks who are going to say that when they hear that, that the example seems a little harsh. There's an edge to it. And I want to argue two things for them, okay? The first is that it feels harsh because we are all way too used to the long, indirect way of writing and, frankly speaking, that has infected our communications over the years, okay? So I think people might feel that way. I really do believe they're reacting more to the difference than actually being able to really truly say that's harsh writing. It's clear writing. It's elegant writing. It's short writing. It's to the point. And some people say that's harsh, but it's really not harsh. It's just less harsh, or it's more harsh than the blah that we get nowadays. It's paragraph after paragraph after paragraph, sort of old-fashioned governmental writing and so on. Now, second, if you think it's always harsh, in other words, short and to the point and correct and clear and so on, go back and reread the blog post that introduces that topic and see if the blog post, feels harsh because it uses all the techniques that we talk about in this cast. And we're going to come back to that blog post.
Yeah. Okay?
Good.
Okay, so what about using the active voice?
Active voice is way easier to read and understand than passive voice. And, of course, the reason it's easier to read is because we live our lives actively. We do things. So it's kind of funny to live our lives actively and then spend all of our time making it passive in terms of how we talk about it. And really, using the active voice is easy to do, although the way I think about doing it is actually kind of funny. So,
how do you do it?
You basically eliminate the passive voice in your writing.
Are we going to go around and around again, author boy?
No, really. Actually, in this case, I'm just being clear. It's just that passive voice is easier to see and define than active voice. Active voice isn't as easy to see or to teach. So what we recommend is simple. To achieve the active voice, you go through your writing. And again, here we go again. Edit, 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 edit. Hint, hint, hint. And you go through and you eliminate the passive voice.
Getting ready to strangle you. It sounds like you're saying, be creative.
Yeah.
Be visionary.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
How do I be creative? Well, you're visionary. How do I become visionary? How do you get creative? That's a good thing. Yeah.
So behavior boy. How about the how?
Yeah. Passive voice is very easy to see. You look for forms of the verb to be, and they are am, in other words, I am, you are, were, so am, are, were, as in we were, was, I was, is, he is, be, being, been. Okay, those are the words. Am, are, were, was, is, be, being, been. Okay? You look for those together with an ending of a verb, on the end of a verb, of ed or en. So, some examples. Was finished. It was finished. Or are cleaned. They are cleaned. Okay? Were completed, right? In all three of those cases, the verb finish, clean, complete is now finished, cleaned, completed. But it's not past tense, right? It's just passive voice. And when you see it, when you see those, the were and the are and the was with the ed or the en on the end of it, you rewrite the sentence, getting rid of that verb tense. Now, most writers will basically say the easiest way to start doing that is to put the subject of the sentence at the front. Rather than saying the dog was walked by the boy, because there's the was and then there's the ed on the walk, you say the boy walked the dog.
I feel better now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Again, it's just I see it and I do it so often. And I, when I write my first draft, I have that passive voice. I say the dog was walked by the boy. And it adds words. You can make yourself sound more formal. You can use bigger words, longer words with that ed on the end of it or the en or whatever. And it's just not.
Yeah.
It's just not as, it's not as clear as the active voice. Subject, verb, predicate, meaning this did something to that. Don't say that had something done to it by this, right? And a lot of times people use the passive voice, Mike, to avoid the directness of saying something was done by something else. In other words, they want to soften it, and it does soften it. The problem is it makes it harder to understand the fundamental intent.
Well, in business writing, it's used extensively to avoid responsibility.
Exactly. Oh, right? Totally right.
Yes. Because the subject is completely left off.
Yes. Right.
Right?
Yeah, right. The dog was walked.
The report was written poorly.
Yeah, exactly. I wrote a poor report. Yes,
right, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
My report was, yeah, exactly. Okay, good.
Well, that's it for part one, and we'll finish up part two of this exciting series next week. Until then, everyone have a great one, and make sure you join us on the discussion forums. See you next week. So long.